Okay, gentlemen, we're continuing with the halachas of second line of page Kuf Tes. Remember the discussion of Bechoyer, right? Remember the discussion of Bechoyer? That a firstborn animal, if it cannot pasken its kasher state, or rather its non-kasher state, on Yom Tov. I can hear myself twice. It's really hard to speak now. Wow. I don't think it comes out. What is it? Okay, gentlemen, are you able to mute yourself? Because I can hear myself double. Let's see if I'm... Yeah, that's better. Yeah, very good. Okay. Okay, and if he sees, so what happens if he sees a moon on the Erev Yom Tov? If he saw the moon on the Erev Yom Tov. Okay, now we're moving on with a slightly different knaich. What happens if he sees the moon on Erev Yom Tov? He is, the Chacham looks at the moon, the blemish, the potential blemish, rather, before Yom Tov, and he sees Shomum Shiroli Shachitolov, and he sees, that's a proper mum, and that is certainly sufficient to invalidate it in its Bechoyer state, and therefore it is possible to shecht it. So if he did identify a blemish before Yom Tov, and he saw Shomum Shiroli Shachitolov, Yochoy, he may lachkor olov b'Yom Tov. He may further analyze this blemish on Yom Tov. So if he has started the investigation process prior to Yom Tov, and he wants to further analyze it to see as to whether this mum was a mum that was he born with this blemish, or perhaps was it a blemish that developed a little bit later, he wants to analyze it on Yom Tov, after he's actually seen the main question, of course, is if it's a mum or not. So that is the paskant before Yom Tov that it is a proper blemish. But now on Yom Tov, he wants to investigate it a bit further. He may do so. He may do so. Mishnebu ain't safe cotton. Nun dalet. In instances that the main aspect of the Bechoyer Psak took place before Yom Tov, Tehainu, i.e., She'ian Bedio investigated its halachic status. Himumum Kavua, is the proper blemish or not? Vehuskam, and it was agreed that story with him. Shumum Gomo, that yes, it is indeed a mum, it is a blemish. And you may shecht and eat it. Rak, Oni, Shaloi Choka, he didn't investigate and analyze. Vedorash, he didn't look at it thoroughly and properly. Adain, Imloi Posha, Bala Bechoy, Ben Fila Samum, he wanted to know a bit more about the mum. Bazem Mutaloi, Las Chakir, Vedrishigam Yomtem, he may investigate it on Yom Tov to investigate it further. And that is not included in the Issa of Ein Roin Mumin B'Yom Tov. That's not included in the restriction of you may not look into Mumin on Yom Tov, because this is very much in line with what we discussed yesterday. It's the why is it a problem? Why is it a problem if he paskens on Yom Tov? What's the point? What's the Issa? We learned yesterday. Tikkun Moneh. You're fixing the animal, as it were. So fixing the status is like fixing the animal. Therefore, that, once you've passed them before Yom Tov, that it is okay to shecht it. So fine. So now they're investigating further. You want to see it a bit more analytically. You want to check exactly what's the history of this, that you may do that on Yom Tov, because the main psak took place already. The Ramon moves on now to a new shadow altogether.
Just explain, what's the significance of it being a
Bechor? There is Kedusha attached to an animal which is the Bechor.
It's going to be given for the Kohanim.
Right, absolutely, indeed. Now this is a bit more complex, and what we really want is it to have a blemish, because once he has a blemish, then the mum takes away the Kedusha, and therefore he can just shecht and eat it, which is really what we are trying to do. Yeah. The Ramah continues now and goes on a little bit off the subject, if I may say so, and he continues with a different shayla with regards to Bechoyer. And that is the shayla, that is the case. If the Bechoyer animal fell into a pit, prior to investigation, the Bechoyer fell into a pit, and I do not know if I'm allowed to shecht it or not. Also, la'alos, you may not retrieve it. You may not take it out of this pit. Why? You're not allowed to shecht it at this stage. You're not allowed to shecht it because you don't know if it's got a blemish or not. So since you don't know if you're allowed to shecht it, it remains, what's its salachic state? Why can you not? Mukti, you can't take it out. So what are you meant to do? Well, you're meant to keep the animal in there until it dies of starvation. A Bechoyer fell into a pit. Since I don't know if it's got blemish or not. Can't shecht it. Can't even take it out. Because I don't know if it's probably mukta. It's mukta. So if normally an animal, which is a sophic Bechoyer, whatever, I'll just leave it, let it graze, and that's very nice. But in this instant over here, I can't just let it graze because there's nothing to graze. And if I leave the animal in the pit, inevitably it's going to die. Now, we may not let an animal just die out of starvation. So what are you going to do? So here we have a heter. Elo oiseloi panosa bimkoimoi. Make it, create a panosa for it bimkoimoi in its place. This is actually Gemara in a few places in Shas, that what you're allowed to do is you have to feed the animal, you have to bring food into the pit. Now, although normally this would include a great tircha, and this would inevitably quite a big deal to start schlepping. Imagine it's a big animal, they go through, I don't know if hundreds of kilos, but they go through a lot of food, but you may not let the animal starve. You've got to schlep all that food, throw it into the pit until it's not Motzi Yontov, and make sure that it's well fed and happy and comfortable down in the pit over there. And it's not just food, it's also drink. You have to just make sure it's safe and sound. And you can't take it out, although the animal would be just you can't take it out because it's mukta.
Even if it's distressed, there's no tzad to say that.
Interesting question. That's a really interesting question. Well, the starting point, the reason why you're allowed to feed it is because of tzar balechaim. So you're basically asking a question. So that surely the animal, if it's in the pit, it's probably in this. It's probably, yeah. Would you say it's in distress?
If it fell there, it's
likely. Yeah, interesting. You're saying that even if it doesn't need any medical
that's also possible.
Yeah, but you're saying that, never mind that, it's just the fact that it's in the pit, it's probably in distress. Interesting question. I don't know. Gentlemen, any thoughts on that? Rabbi Tepa asks a question. He says, we find in Shas in a few places this concept, what we're seeing now. We are seeing now an animal which is mukta, like this Bechoyer. I can't just take it out of the pit because it's mukta. But, on the other hand, I may not let it starve because of Tzar Balechaim, amongst other things. I cannot let it starve. I may not just like wait patiently and it dies out of starvation. So I have to make sure it's well fed on the one hand. On the other hand, I may not actually put it out of there because it's mukta. So what do? You schlep the food to the pit and make sure it's well fed. That's the halacha as we find in Shulchan Aruch, in Rama over here, and in a few places in Shas. Rabbi Tepa asks an interesting question. He said, well, very nice that you're looking after its food. Very nice. And that sure goes a long way. But that's not the full story. Arguably, the animal which is in a pit is in a state of distress. Due to what? Due to the...
Stuck in a pit.
Stuck in a pit. Pardon?
Fell there, first of all.
Yeah. Yeah. It may need... yeah. That's right. And it's probably... and therefore, would you call it in danger?
There might be an animal.
It might even be an element of danger. Certainly is an element of distress. So why is that not sufficient to allow us to take it out? Why is the food only? So you want to see to its food. Very nice. Shkoyach. So it's going to be well fed. But well, there's more to the story. Good question. I do not know the answer to that interesting question. Any thoughts on that?
Allowed you to make sure it didn't die.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Which are you reading? Apol gav the pasuk mechaba the kol davar shemutzi zanasan how chetu shelo yomus. It's about not dying. Yeah. So you are being dying the Mishnah Berurah that we're learning that since we're trying not to die, we're feeding it. But if it comes to its emotional well being of the animal, is such a thing? Emotional well being of animals.
It can certainly be distressed.
Yeah, so it's not that we don't have to go that far to look after the emotional well-being of the animal. If it's about death, that we've got to. But if it's beyond that, yeah, that's a good question. There could be a valid duke in here. Okay, we move on. Sif Yud. Interesting question. Now, this is a general rule. Now, Yossi, you have to help me. What's the word for... There's a legal word for a legal loophole. There's a word for that. I know the article always translates haroma as a specific word for that, and I don't know what it is. Legal loophole. How do you call that?
Loophole's a good word. What's the
context? No, article is a different word.
What's the context?
Okay, the context we're going to see in a minute.
Haram,
yeah, that's it. I want to have the correct word, the correct translation of haram, besides the legal loophole. Because the legal loophole has a pardon?
Is it subterfuge or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Subterfuge is something else.
Something that, because I'll tell you, legal loophole has a negative connotation, and I want to avoid that. Legal loophole is you're trying to avoid the law with a legal loophole. Okay, I'll tell you why we're going to see now.
The law leaves a mock.
I know, but the legal loophole inevitably is something which is wrong. Yeah. Now I don't want to go there. I want to ask the following question. We're going to be learning this. One of them, what we're going to be seeing now, has got a great importance. We're going to be seeing now I don't like to use it, the word...
Technicality.
Pardon?
Technicality.
Technicality?
To get by on the technicality. Escape clause.
I know, but that's... We're going to see now, let's call it a legal loophole for now, to avoid something, but... And from here, we're going to see as to whether generally legal loopholes are permitted. Let's see what Shulchan Aruch says. See if you'd. Okay, we know that there is a halacha. You may not shecht oisoy it ves benoy its child. You may not shecht two animals, one being the parent and one being the child, on the same day. As to whether the reason for that is because of Tzar Bale Chaim, or whether the reason is for another philosophical reason, let's not go there now. But the point is, there's a mitzvah, the Yaisa, or rather a lav, that you may not shecht oisoy it ve'ez benoy and its child on the same day. All right. Having said that, what happens, moving on with the topic of falling into the pit. Now, what happens if you've got oisoy ve'ez benoy falling into the pit? Now, really, what you want is you want him out of the pit. Because it's a great burden to have two animals in a pit, which you must see to its food. You have to start schlepping boxes and boxes and boxes of food. And it's a great tich, and you don't know how well it is and how healthy and fit it. You don't really want them in the pit. You would much rather them out of the pit where they can graze naturally in your field. So now you've got oisoy ve'ez benoy shenoflu leboyim. You're quite happy to shecht one of them because that was your intention in the first place. But what about the other one? So you can't shecht both of them because one is oisoy, one is benoy. So you may not shecht both of them and both are in the pit. So what are you going to do? To take them both out, well, you can't take them both out really because you can't shecht them both. To take one of them out, well, which one are you going to take out? And it still doesn't help you because you still have to schlep the food to feed the animal in the pit. So what am I going to do? And here we go, we find a legal loophole, gentlemen. The halach is as follows. Oy say ves benoy, shenof filo boy, you've got it and its child, as it were, shenof filo boy, which fell in the pit. Males arishon, you take the first one out, any of the two animals you pull out, almenas, in order, with intention, leshachtu to shecht it. But, however, ve'eino shechtoy, you don't actually shecht the animal. All you do is you pull it out with intention to shecht it, but you don't actually shecht it. And then you say, oh, I plan to shecht this animal. I changed my mind. It's not fat enough. It's not big enough. It's not what I fancy. What do you do? So, you know what? The second one looks actually a lot better for me. You take the other one, you drag the other one out. V'choyzer, you return umarim, and you, what do you say, marim?
Up, no?
No, it's the cheating. I don't like cheating because you're allowed to do.
Evade.
Let's go for evade. Okay, let's go for evade.
Evasion still has a negative connotation.
I want to avoid. I want to evade the negative connotation.
Avoid.
Okay. Let's leave this open for now. We're going to see. You're going to see soon what I mean. Umarim, and you do the haroma. Let's call it the legal loophole for now. You do the legal loophole now. Umale is a shame you put out the second one. If you want to wish the former, do so. If you wish to shecht the latter, do so. So the point being is that you don't just normally what you expect. You've got oysev is brother fell into the pit. To take the first one out and to shecht it is for sure right, but you don't really want to do that because the second one is still in the pit. So what are you going to do? You take the first one out. You say, "Oh, I thought it's a good one to shecht. Actually, I changed my mind." Going crazy, and you send the first one back into the fields. You take the second one, oh, that's the one I wanted. You put it out, and now you're allowed to shecht the second one, or if you want it, you can even shecht the first one again. This is a legal loophole, because now you have kind of made, let's call the Yiddish word, you've made a drei, you've made a, like a legal loophole, you were able to pull out both of them, you're allowed to do it.
Conspiracy.
It's what?
It's contrived.
Circumvention.
Contrived.
It's contrived.
I don't know the word contrived.
Contrived means you knew you were going to do it in the first place.
Yeah, you knew absolutely, and nevertheless you're allowed to do it. And so now, I don't like to use the legal loophole word, because legal loophole, in the way, I think, I don't know English so well, but I think the English legal loophole, I think it means that it's something wrong about it, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's a negative connotation. Now here, it's haroma, and it's perfectly permitted to do. The Torah allows you to do haroma.
The Gemara talk about haroma.
The Gemara does.
And it says it's
yes, so the Gemara very good. You're quite right. Absolutely. That's right. The Gemara discusses in a few places in Shas haroma, and the Gemara generally goes with the rule of thumb. The Gemara in a few places says haroma for teiras is also for the abon is muta. I don't know about Rav Metzia, perhaps also Rav Metzia, and the Gemara speaks that. So that's now let's look at Mishnah Bosef Kotnun Nun Zayin. Oisavet Benoi, the behemoth Be'amna Shenoflu, when a third white line. With general animals that fell into the pit, Bevadai, certainly, Mutter, it's permitted to pull it out. Afal Pi, although, Shein and Sheikh Naim, although you don't check them. Kim Chirun Lishchita, because our potentially you could check them. But when it comes to oisavet Benoi, Shal Kochoch, which by definition, one of them you cannot shecht. And you're doing over here a tilt or a carrying without purpose. In other words, it's mukta. And therefore, you must cheat. No, cheat is wrong, right? It's not cheat. You must circumvent the law. All right, okay. Evade the law. All right, okay. That's, yeah. Okay, I think Art Scroll, I seem to remember, because I remember looking it up once. Art Scroll, that's how I learned my English. the Art Scroll has got a different word for aroma. I don't know what it is.
Contrived?
I think it's what Gideon said earlier.
Contrived?
Oh, yeah.
Overruled.
He finds an excuse. Shema, perhaps chaveru shomen mimenu. Perhaps the second one is fatter. He's nicer. Ve'itiroi loy leharim. It is permitted to cheat over here, not just for his personal benefit.
A plot.
But plot is also negative. It also has negative connotation.
Maneuver.
All right.
It doesn't need to be a perfect word for it.
Okay. It is, but
the haram in
Lashon HaKodesh
is negative.
No, because the words we just said, you're allowed to do this haram. So surely it cannot be something which has got a... you're saying that the harem is really got a negative aspect as well. It's permitted. Okay, perhaps. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, okay, good. It's permitted to do that legal loophole, not just because for your own benefit, that you are allowed to save yourself the tircha. No, not, it's much beyond that. It's really mishum tzar balechaim, because of tzar balechaim. Here comes it. I think it's a fascinating yesod. Anybody who need any proof or evidence or raya's that the Yidden do care for animals, here it is. We're allowed to do lahari mishum tzar balechaim, as well as, let's not forget that aspect as well, mishum have some money because of financial loss as well. But primarily because of tzar balechaim, you may do this legal loophole of pulling out the first one and say, no, actually, I changed my mind, I want the next one. You're allowed to do that, although it's oisav es benoi, you're allowed to do that to for tzar balechaim, to look after the well-being of the animals. Are you allowed to pull them all, both of them out and say, actually, forget it, I don't want to be flashy, I want to have a coffee later, I'm going to go for the parva schnitzel. Are you allowed to do that?
No, that's there, because it's Simchas Yom Tov.
Okay. So you say you find, actually I've got one in the freezer still. Let's do the leftovers from last night. Would you be allowed to do that? And thereby,
well,
avoiding both shchitas.
You've kind of done that here, because whichever one you're not going to shecht.
But perhaps at the end of the day you must shecht one of them.
The other one you pulled out
to let it soak. Yeah, but it wasn't a because when I pulled it out, I pretend that there's a purpose in it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, who mashmeit appears from the words of the Shulchan Aruch, to al kol ponim mechuyav lishchad echonem. You have to shecht one of the two. Yeah, the pashtas is you've got to shecht one of the two, and this is what the Mogen Avraham paskens. However, Haba Poiski, many authorities hold. Have you b'shem Yerushalmi? It appears from the Gemara Yerushalmi. Teimoytzach kach iu after you change the man altogether. Shlali shchoyt echomem. He doesn't want to shecht any of them. Gam ken rishus biyodoi. He may do so as well. Tal kaponim hello is better because the when that's actually what you are saying, Rabbi Tepper. Because when I pull them out, I plan to just like the first. First one I was allowed to pull out because I intended to shecht. Similarly, also the second one I pulled out because I intended to shecht that one, either genuinely or not so genuinely. But that was seemingly my intention. Therefore, it says when you did it beheta, so fine. If you change your mind now, let it be. It is right to be stringent in this matter. One of the two, fencing concept, because it shouldn't be so recognizable. You know, your next door neighbor who's watched you all the way, yeah, from the window, he pulled out the and he wants exactly how you're dealing with this matter. He saw you putting out one. And he's only next to putting on the second one. He asked, and he was wondering what you're going to do. If you shecht at one of them, so he's going to understand, all right, shecht at one of them, same was done better. But if you're busy for hours pulling out those animals, those heavyweights, you're pulling them out from the pit, and at the end of the day, you're not shechting anything, your next door neighbor is going to say, wow, what's going on over here? He's mamasha, what is he? He's doing all this on Yom Tov without hetzah. So therefore, you've got to shecht because of the nick, the hecker, the recognizable aspect of the aroma. You've got to at least shecht one of them. That's Mishabu's passing in the name of the Rashba. Although it seems to be that there's quite a lot of mekilim to actually leave altogether. Okay, gentlemen, this is fascinating halachas. But there's many shilas that have to do with aroma. And I'm not talking about legal loopholes in the financial world. I'm talking about legal loopholes in halacha. One of them is, one of the very famous ones is the Mechiras Chometz, which has an aspect of aroma, according to Achoinim. It's arguable, but some want to compare. Are you allowed to do this legal loophole of and a very controversial shaila, which made a tremendous rift in Klal Yisrael, was a shaila of selling land in Shemitah, which is a very controversial, much debated, very hot topic. The Shemitah that let me mention him by name, Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Bekodesh Livracha, was on the amongst his, many others as well. Were leaning to sell land with the Shemitah in the early years of the Israeli government was many challenges. It was very hard for the farmers to literally survive. Pardon? It was definitely Shasat Chak. It was very much, but it was Shasat Chak. But there was many Poskim who believed that one should therefore rely on the selling of the lands to Arabs and thereby avoiding Hilchas Shemitah. Which was a lifesaver for many, many, many Yiddish farmers. Others held and verged on the Chazanish, and others that it's completely forbidden, and the Badats and other halachic authorities. But he made a tremendous rift in Klal Yisrael. He calmed down recently because I think everybody agrees that there's not much need to do that anymore. But it was in the initial years, in the first years of the first couple of Shemitahs, it was a very, very hot, very much debated topic, and he felt that you've got much sources in Chazal and in Shas and Poskim that to allow Harama. And he said, and one of the Mekoros is this over here. So you would add to the Harama. And that would be one of the Mekoros. There's other areas of halacha which Harama is much is discussed, and all the discussions somehow bring this Oisev es Benoi, which I'd like to remind with them, is one of the main Mekoros in that. Okay, that's it for this evening. I wish you a very, very good evening, and we shall continue tomorrow. Be'ez Hashem, we see if you'd understand.